Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We invite your calls right now to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-32-BASIC. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or discuss the important issues you face in life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This week we're talking about Pentecost. We celebrate Pentecost this coming Sunday. It's a very important day for the body of Christ. And Andrew, welcome to the program today. We've asked people to weigh in on this question: what does Pentecost mean to you, or when you hear the word, what comes to mind? And would love to hear your thoughts on Pentecost and what it really means to us on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, well, Bob, you know, for me, it means that we get filled with the life of God. I mean, that's what happens, is that the Holy Spirit pours into us, and we're literally now containing or housing the life of Jesus Christ. So this is what makes Christianity so special and so different. I mean, you know, you can be a Buddhist and be looking at the teachings of Buddha. You can be in Islam and looking at the teachings of Muhammad. You can be looking back at a historical figure and trying to imitate them or obey their writings. But what is unique about Christianity is that we literally house the teacher within us. And that's what they were waiting for at Pentecost. The disciples, who were then apostles, were waiting for this power of Jesus Christ to come live in them and give them power over sin and give them counsel and comfort when they needed it. And we have that today. We didn't have tongues of fire fall on us, but we have the very same power of Jesus Christ within us. So to me, that's what distinguishes Christianity from every world religion out there, that we have the teacher within us, and that's huge.
Oh, man, is it ever huge. Paul likened it this way: Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we're going to have any hope, not only for the future, but for right here, right now, it has to be pinned to Jesus and his work in and through us. Why do you think the word Pentecost has taken on so many different ideas and thoughts and notions? And, you know, I know folks think of it in terms of speaking in tongues, the miraculous manifestation, so to speak. When did it lose its simple meaning of being filled with life?
Yeah, you know, Bob, for me, it loses it when people look at the actions of the apostles alone instead of looking at the God who's behind it all. So what I mean by that is, I say, oh, look at this verse in Acts. Oh, they spoke in tongues. Therefore, I need to do what they did. And so I begin to look at the exterior actions that happened within the history of the church, and I start trying to do exactly what they did, rather than seeing, wait a minute, the big deal was not that they sang this song, or not that they spoke in this language, or not that they, you know, healed somebody in the moment. The big deal was that it was Christ within them, and it was Christ giving them the power, and it was a relationship that they had embarked on. So when I look at Pentecost, I think the proper focus is to say, look, I may never heal somebody miraculously by the power of God, and I may never speak in a foreign language by the power of God, but that doesn't take away from the fact that, you know what, we're diverse in this body of Jesus Christ, and the big deal, the biggest deal of all, is not what we're doing, but who's motivating it, and how did he get there inside of me, and what a miracle this is to be indwelt by him. So, you know, it's so human, Bob, for us to get our eyes off of the source and put our eyes on the product. But really, we're not supposed to be imitating the product. We're supposed to be looking at the source, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I think if we do look at the product, we need to look at the right one, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the product, and that's going to be love. And, you know, that's what Paul talks about in First Corinthians 12 at the very end of that chapter. Let me show you a more excellent way. Mm-hmm. It's the way of love, and that's what the life of Christ is all about. It's a life of love, and his power enables us to love first God and then others. He's the source of that, and that really is the good news, and it all gets back down to Jesus Christ, alive, living in us.
This is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Calls beginning to come in, but still room for you if you call quickly. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742. 844-32-BASIC for short. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis. And again, thank you for joining us.
Well, indeed. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Joyce listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joyce.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I would like to know, what is the true mode for baptism, whether it's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? I know that is what Jesus said. And in Acts, they said, baptizing them in the name of Jesus. So most churches that I listen to or attend sometimes, you know, visit, they say, you know, you have to baptize in the name of Jesus. And you're baptizing for the remission of sin, which for me, I don't think baptism, the water, could take away my sin. I know from the time I give the Lord my life and ask him to come into my heart and be my Savior, I know I'm saved then, and then the baptism will come after. But to baptize to be saved, I don't stand with that. So I would like you to explain me these two principles, please.
Well, Joyce, thanks for asking those questions. You raised some very significant points. And you know, Andrew, as you've probably baptized folks in water, and you know, what do you say as that process is taking place?
Well, you know, I think that the big deal here is that, first of all, we need to put baptism in its proper place, as Joyce has already alluded to. You know, whether we baptize someone saying in the name of Jesus Christ or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're still referring to Jesus Christ and the fact that he's God. But, you know, whether we say the exact verbiage this way or that way, we need to remember what Joyce already said, and that is that there's nothing magical about the water. You know, that's why Paul said God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, because preaching the gospel is what saves, not water baptism. And so, you know, that's why Peter can look at a group of Gentiles there in the book of Acts, and he can say, whoa, they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So now, what prevents them from being baptized in water? In other words, they're already saved. They're saved just like we are. They've already been baptized in the Spirit. So what prevents them from celebrating this externally? In water. So you see that salvation is not hinging on our being dipped in a swimming pool or in the local swimming hole, but instead it's about being baptized into the life of Christ, being baptized into the resurrection of Jesus. So that's why Jesus, you know, even said that, you know, someone here, John the Baptist, baptized with water, but there'll be a day when you'll be baptized in the Spirit, and that's the big deal. So water baptism is like a birthday party. We have a birthday party, everybody shows up, everybody applauds, everybody's joyous and happy about it, everybody congratulates you, but you weren't born that day. You were just celcelebrating with a birthday party because the birth has already taken place. So
Amen.
When we're baptized in the Spirit, that's, Joyce, that's when we're born spiritually, and then water baptism is simply a celebration of that. So I think you've hit an important point, Joyce, and I'm so glad that you brought it up.
Really, does that help,
thank
Joyce?
You. Yes, thank you so much. What you said is quite true. I accept that very, very well, because it is so. It is so. Water baptism cannot save anybody. You go down dry and you come up wet. Just the same, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and receive of his Holy Spirit, and then you're baptized, but to baptize for salvation, I think that is very, very deep error.
Hmm. Amen.
Amen indeed, Joyce. Thanks so much for your call. We certainly appreciate it today.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much.
And room for you at 844-322-2742 at Basic Gospel.
Well, let's go to Chris in Fairfax, Virginia, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I was hoping to ask you three questions today if I have time, so short answers would actually be okay. The first one is 2 Corinthians 13:14. It is a verse that came up at church on Sunday. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And it seems like Paul is like uncertain, like he's wishing it upon the church as if it's not for sure. When at the beginning of the letter, he had said grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So why does he kind of make it sound like it's not for certain there?
Yeah, well, Chris, I don't think it's really an uncertainty. I mean, my take on this is that it's an encouragement, and he's finishing the letter, and literally his last line is, it's not might or maybe, you know, maybe the grace of God will be with you. And maybe that English word may trips us up sometimes because we don't use it that often. But, you know, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's not a might or a maybe or sure, we hope so, but we don't know for sure. I mean, all of that doubt is really not communicated in that passage. And so I think it's really ultimately an encouragement. And as you said earlier in the letter, he's already stated these things are a reality. But he's just sort of reminding them and saying, you know, as I close out this letter, remember, it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have him with you always. So stay focused on him. Stay fixated on him. Keep your eyes on him. And, you know, it's just an encouraging passage, I think, ultimately for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Second question, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Paul says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. So that second part there, fulfill every good purpose of yours, some say desire for goodness or work of faith with power. Those seem to be things that God would do simply because of the fact that he's God. And here Paul is saying that he's praying constantly for those things. So it's kind of some of the first question. Why do you think that Paul is praying for these things when it's kind of, in my mind, it seems like God would normally do them?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, again, Chris, I think here we do have a similar situation, except, you know, I think really it revolves around the fact that he's writing so many people. He's writing not just hundreds of readers, but thousands of readers. And so if the shoe fits, wear it. There's some Christians who are brand new. They've been saved 3 days. There's other Christians that have been saved, you know, 3 years, and others that have been saved 3 months, and they're all at a different point in a different process. And so for us to sit here and say that every Christian is fulfilling their purpose in Christ for which they were recreated, I think that would be delusion, because many Christians, you know, even back then in Corinth, they were having sex with their mother-in-law, they were having orgies practically at the Lord's Supper, they were abusing the celebration, they were shaving their heads and making themselves available like prostitutes, essentially, the women were in some cases. And so you say, are these people fulfilling their purpose in Christ Jesus? No. Are they saved? Yeah. But are they making a mockery of the faith? Well, in some cases, yes. So, you know, what he's talking about there is that, you know, here I'm addressing hundreds and thousands of you. You're each in a different place in your walk with Christ. And so we're not going to sit around and just say everybody's doing great.
And he also, Andrew, gives the very reason that he prayed that in verse 12. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's good purpose, that Jesus will be glorified in us and us in him, that we will manifest his presence in this world of darkness. So that is why Paul prayed that.
Okay, last question. I'm reading a book that emphasizes growth. And this author's perspective is we need to be intentional about it. It doesn't just happen automatically. We need to set aside time to make it happen. We need to know ourselves. We need to know our strengths, what we're good at. And I'm not really seeing that completely in the Bible. I mean, I know that 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's anything we need to grow in, it's in knowing him better. And you got 2 Corinthians 3:7, neither he who plants nor waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Philippians 1:6, he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So what do you think of this philosophy that we need to be intentional about our growth?
Interesting, very interesting question. I mean, it's you know, how do we make ourselves grow? And we can't. That's God's job. You know, as Paul talked about, you know, we build upon the foundation. Some people water, some people will plant seeds, but ultimately it's God that's going to cause the growth. And so I think we need to recognize that, and we need to just learn to abide. And when I think of growth, that's what I think of, learning to become more and more dependent and reliant upon Jesus Christ, learning what it really means to walk by faith in him. And that growth is something that takes place as my mind becomes renewed. But God is the source of all that. Again, it gets back to Pentecost, doesn't it, Andrew, as far as Christ in us, our hope of glory.
Yeah. You think about, you know, Bob, Richard, you think about a tree sitting there in nature. I mean, a tree got its life first from the seed, and then the seed had to be watered, and then there's nutrients in the soil. The seed wasn't exerting effort. The tree is not exerting effort. You would just say that the tree is totally dependent on the nutrients in the soil and totally dependent on the rainfall and totally dependent upon God, ultimately. And so that's what we mean by the difference between human effort and really what is ultimately dependency on someone who is not us.
Yep, good stuff.
Well, Chris,
hey,
thanks for your call. We appreciate hearing from you, my friend.
I really appreciate your ministry. Have a great day.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Chris. We're going to go to Yonkers and talk with Don here in just a moment. But friends, want to let you know that this past Monday, a friend of our ministry issued a matching gift challenge. Any donation made by this Saturday will be doubled up to $10,000. On Tuesday, yet another friend of the ministry was inspired to add to the matching gift challenge, committing to match gifts up to $5,000, so a total of $15,000 in matching gift funds. It's a great way to double your impact through Basic Gospel, reaching more people with the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make your donation, your most generous gift, if you possibly can, today, and let's continue broadcasting the only message that really, really matters. Make your gift today by clicking the donate link at basicgospel.net. And remember, with your gift this month, you'll receive a copy of our new devotional guide, 12 Days of Simply Grace. So click donate on any page at Basic Gospel to double the impact of your gift and receive your copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Don in Yonkers, New York. Hi, Don.
Hi, how you doing? Andrew, I really appreciate you, Bob and Dave, as always. But Andrew, I appreciate you for your knowledge of the word and the truth that you stand in. With the Pentecost, man, what a marvelous way for God to show up and show out. Here comes the Holy Spirit, and the people stand back and they notice what's going on. Languages that these disciples weren't supposed to be speaking in being spoken so that everybody could understand what's going on. I'm coming. Jesus said, I'm coming, and now I'm here. And here, not only to have you to notice me, but to have to dwell within me. What a marvelous truth that I have and that I cherish. Now, with that truth and with that showing, I'm asking men who are listening, what are we doing? What are we doing now that we have that truth and that authority and that we are overcomers? What are we doing? Are we just sitting back and enjoying it and dwelling in the knowledge of the truth therein? Or are you representing yourself as men of valor that you should be you should be representing yourself as and standing up for that truth and letting the world know that you are the genuine article because you have that truth within you. Mm. I thank you, brothers, for your courtesy and listening and your audience as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, Don. You know, Richard, maybe you want to comment on that, but we've got choices, don't we? I mean, daily choices to really represent who we are in Christ to the world. I mean, we could just make a mockery of this gospel, but we'll be miserable if we do it. And there are daily moment-by-moment choices, and they matter, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I love how tightly coupled all these questions have been when you think about the people who have mistreated Pentecost because they worshiped the gift rather than the source of the gift. And when we look at spiritual disciplines where we try to be more consistent as children of God and we get stuck on the behavior instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus, it's these little choices every day that I think God gives us to teach us how to keep our eyes on Jesus. We tend to think of, well, I need faith for the big things. No, I need faith for everything. And when I learn how to focus on Jesus, even in the minutiae of life, you know, mowing the lawn, when I can do that, then he can trust me with bigger things because he knows that I will keep my eyes focused on him in those cases as well. It's always all about Jesus and what he is accomplishing in and through us.
Yeah, I think that's the point. You know, Jesus has invaded our lives. Mm-hmm. He has become our life. He's alive, living in us. And he doesn't, you know, enter into us and then take a nap until we die.
Yeah.
He's very active. So I think one of the approaches that we need to learn to take as far as this Christian life is concerned is to figure out what Jesus Christ is doing in and through us. What's he doing?
Yeah.
He's obviously working something inside of us. So it's simply our role to work it out. And that's done by faith. So it's not what we do for Jesus. It's really from start to finish what Jesus has done and is doing in and through us. That's the joy of this Christian
yes.
life. Well, Don, thank you for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Let's go quickly to Mary listening to us in New York. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thank you very much. And I appreciate your ministry. My question is because I'm confused because it seems as though the focus is in some churches. I used to attend a Pentecostal church where the focus was on the ministers rather than Jesus. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that for years we said we called ministers, you know, Reverend this, Reverend that. And then everybody started saying that they were bishops and there was Bishop this. And then the women decided that were in the ministry called themselves bishops. And now several places where I know they've changed it and now everybody is called an apostle. And I was just, I'm confused because when I looked in Acts and I saw how you had to be
well,
an
Mary,
apostle,
let me jump in. We're about out of time. I appreciate
that's
your
my question. Thank you.
I appreciate your question. We're all children of God.
That's what we
and
are.
That's what we're going to be eternally. But we're also all considered priests. We're a part of this royal priesthood, every single one of us. There's no one that stands higher than anyone else, and we have to recognize that, and that's this new covenant that we live in today.
Yeah.
So, Mary, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold.
Yeah, and once again, friends, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. We are dependent upon the prayers and gifts of people just like you to keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. And through this Saturday, again, your donation will count twice as much as we've received matching gift opportunities that will double your gift up to $15,000. So join with us, friends. Keep this good news coming. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. And remember that with your gift this month, you're going to receive a copy of our new devotional guide, 12 Days of Simply Grace. So make that donation, see it double with the matching gifts, and receive your copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net. And thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.